Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by the big boss man here at MMAOddsBreaker.com. You know him from UFC on the line. It's Mr. Nick Kalikas at Fight Odds on Twitter. Nick, how's it going, man? It's pretty hot there, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be that hot, but I guess in the car with the phone, with the hot sun beating down, yeah, it kind of fried my phone for a minute. I had my phone overheat until just now. So that's, yeah, had some issues there, but cranked up the air conditioning and I think we're good.
Yeah, me and Nick, we just started the podcast, and then a few minutes in, all of a sudden, Nick, I don't know what happened, and then he tells me his phone overheated. I was like, wow, geez, it must be nice there. But either way, Nick, it's all good. We're going to start again anyways, and we'll just start from the beginning here. Basically, we're going to break down UFC 250 today, and Nick's going to give some odds out for the two title fights at UFC 250, Henry Cejudo versus Jose Aldo, and Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer. Nick, let's start with the men's bantamweight title here between Cejudo and Aldo. Just give me your initial reaction to Aldo getting the title shot coming off the two straight losses. Some controversy. Some fans aren't very happy about it, but he is a legend. You can see why the UFC is giving him the shot, considering it's in Brazil. But nevertheless, he is coming off two straight losses. So just give me your thoughts on just him getting the title shot.
I honestly think it's a fair title shot that he's getting, because I think he won that fight against Moraes, honestly. And I think a lot of the diehards believe so as well. So just because the judges didn't really award him the fight, I think if you look a little bit deeper, you look a little bit closer, you could see that he edged that fight out. And again, with his background, with his history, being one of the all-time greats in the sport, I think it's hard to deny him. And of course, Cejudo wants the fight. I mean, if you're Cejudo, I don't blame him there either. Wouldn't you want a, you know, win over Jose Aldo on your resume? That would be phenomenal. You know, it's a Triple C is getting all the gold right now. He's getting, you know, everything is going his way. So why not have an awesome win like that on your resume as well? So I can understand why he wants the fight. It makes a lot of sense to me, a lot more probably than the average fan thinks so. And it should be a good fight.
Yeah, for sure. You know, personally, Nick, I would have given it to Peter Yan because I was so impressed by his last fight. I was at that fight, Nick, and knocked out Faber. It was impressive as hell. But they're going to do Marlon Moraes versus Peter Yan next, which should be a great fight itself in Kazakhstan. And then they're going to give Aldo the title shot here in Brazil, which, you know, for a business point of view, you got to understand the UFC is running a business. They want Aldo there, Nick, in Brazil to sell tickets, right? So it's a good fight. It's a big fight. So who knows? I think he's dating a Brazilian chick right now. He's always down there taking videos and stuff. The king of cringe, Nick. He's really become something popular. And he's a pretty funny guy, Triple C. All right, so give me your thoughts on your opening odds here, Nick, and why you opened them. Tell the fans and the listeners how you're opening Cejudo versus Aldo.
Well, there's a few lines floating around right now, and I think they're actually decent. I mean, the opening line, I believe, was around minus 210, maybe plus 180-ish, so maybe a little high on the dog, but I think as a public line, it's actually fair. 2-1 is a fair price because I think you will get two-way action. I think we're going to get two-way sharp action. I think more public action is going to come in on Cejudo, honestly, despite Jose Aldo having the awesome reputation, and he obviously a lot of the fans know who he is. But at this point, I think a lot of them consider him kind of like a step backward. He's not in the peak of his career, where Cejudo's kind of the one on the rise. He's climbing. He's in the public eye right now. So I think we're going to see a little bit more square action kind of come in on Cejudo with some sharp action mixed in for sure. I'm not saying it's all going to be the square side, but I think we're going to see eventually some sharper action take a stab at Jose Aldo as well, because I think it will be a pretty competitive fight. But there's no mistake here. I think at this point of their careers, you have to favor Cejudo. I mean, I've been really impressed with the guy's done. I mean, he's taken himself to another level. It's all the hard work. You know, he's gotten better. I mean, he's definitely an elite level fighter right now. So you got to take your hat off to the guy.
Yeah, he's looked fantastic, Nick. Five straight wins here. He was a double champion. He gave up the flyweight belt, although that division still doesn't have a champion. But, you know, he is the bantamweight champ. He's coming off five straight wins. He's been impressive as hell. You know, it's crazy, though. I was telling you this earlier, Nick. They're the same age, 33. That's ridiculous when you think about it, because Aldo's been around since, like, the early 2000s, basically. I mean, he was in the WEC in the late 2000s. Kicking ass there, and then he's had a great career in the UFC too. Obviously, he was a longtime champion featherweight, struggled a little bit the last few years, a little bit inconsistent, obviously getting up there in age. But I just think the damage to, like, the two Max Holloway fights in particular, those ones, Nick, took a beating from him. I think took a lot out of him. And Cejudo, obviously, he is 33, but, you know, he's kind of a late bloomer in MMA, only fighting since 2013 and really only in the UFC since 2014. So it's a very intriguing fight. You got the wrestler here in Cejudo, and you got Aldo with the amazing takedown defense, it's always been known for, and the incredible striking. But Cejudo's striking has got really good too. So it's just like a really intriguing fight, Nick. Still not sure if he truly deserves it, but at the same time, I personally thought he beat Marlon Moraes. So I'm okay with the UFC giving him the title shot. I just hope that he actually does something good with it, unlike the guy we'll talk about a little bit later, Yoel Romero. We'll talk about him in a few minutes, Nick. I want to get your thoughts on that fight. All right, so Cejudo minus 200, Aldo plus 160. Those are the opening odds, right?
Yeah, that's going to be my opening price as well. And again, I think it's a fair, like a public two-way action type of line that the sports books will be okay on. We're going to see it rise a little bit. We'll see it drop. It'll go back and forth, I'm sure. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see where it closes. And that's going to dictate where you bet it, honestly, towards the closing price. Because right now, I think that is a fair price.
For sure. All right, so let's get to the co-main event here. Really good fight, too, in the women's featherweight division, Nick. A very rare women's featherweight title fight. Amanda Nunes, the double champ in the women's division, is taking on Felicia Spencer, the Canadian. She earned the title shot a couple weeks ago with that win in a very shallow division. I mean, there was slim pickings here, Nick. It was basically her or Megan Anderson. The UFC chose Felicia Spencer. She's going to get the chance to fight for the belt here against Nunes, who's just been – I mean, she's been on a tear. All right, Nick, give me your thoughts on the matchup, and then we'll talk about the odds in a second. Just give me your thoughts, overall thoughts, initial thoughts on the fight.
Well, first of all, I think you have to look at it and see that it's at featherweight again, right? So Nunes, more of a bantamweight. Not that she's not – capable of featherweight. We saw what she did to Cyborg, obviously, as well. So Nunes is just a beast anywhere the fight takes place. I mean, whatever weight class. So she's a handful. She's got that tremendous takedown defense. She's obviously outstriking most of her opponents. I mean, one of the most explosive and dangerous female fighters of all time. I mean, the knockout power that she has, the accuracy, the tenacity, the finishing ability, you got to love Nunes. And you know what the cool thing is? We all got to watch her grow from Invicta, from her past fights. She had a lot of holes in her game. She had a lot of flaws, but man, she's put the work in, surrounded herself with amazing team and American top team. Of course, everything's come together for her. And she got where she is right now because of all the hard work. I mean, she's improved her conditioning. We all know that as well, which was, I think, a big question mark, you know, it's still going to kind of peek its head out at times for sure. So I'm not saying all of those holes have been kind of addressed with her, but she's definitely on top of her game. And even at featherweight, I mean, that's a tough fight for Spencer for sure, because she's going to have to get this fight to the ground and she's going to have to utilize her ground game. I think that's where her advantage lies, though. You know, that type of fighter. I know she has that Taekwondo background. She's capable of striking. She performed really well against Cyborg. You got to give Spencer a lot of credit there as well. But in this case, at this spot here, I think she's facing a more dangerous fighter. Nunes is a step above. Obviously, we've seen her beat Cyborg, right? I think Nunes is still more in her prime than a Cyborg at this point of her career as well. So this is going to be a more difficult fight for Spencer, but at featherweight and her path to victory being the ground and possibly getting a takedown and showing some toughness early on, as this fight progresses, maybe she can have some success. And all it takes is one takedown, getting the back of an opponent sometimes. And, you know, you could have the fight be a wrap really quick. So I wouldn't necessarily count her out. I think she is a dangerous opponent, you know, for Nunes at this point, but still hard to not like Nunes in this spot against any female fighter at this point.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I mean, Nunes, she's just been impressive, Nick. You know, I had some question marks about her, like you did earlier in her career. The fight with Katsingano, I remember that one. You know, she did really well early. And like you said, gas hard and got finished. But since then, Nick, I mean, 10-fight win streak says it all. I mean, she's been impressive. And the names on her resume, Nick, you got Cyborg, obviously, Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, Jermaine Durand, Misha Tate, Valentina Shevchenko twice. I mean, that is an incredible list. That's an amazing resume. Probably the best resume ever of any female. So you got to give her that respect. I do see some holes in her game, though, at times. Even in the Jermaine Durand fight, the last one, Nick, in Vegas, she saw some holes in that fight, especially on the feet. But she was able to land takedowns against someone in JDR, who I thought had better takedown defense than that, to be quite honest. But obviously, Nunes wanted to show that part of her game. So she is improving the ground game. And I think in this fight, I mean, that's going to be important, because I'm guessing Spencer, like you said, is going to look for a takedown. She does her best work on the ground. She gets good position on you, top position, side position, and just goes to work. She has submission ability. She has knockout power. She has finishing ability with her elbows and the punches on the ground. She's an impressive fighter, Nick, but you got to favor Amanda Nunes. You really have to. She's just so talented and so much experience at this point.
Yeah, and it's going to be a hefty line. I mean, we're seeing prices right now floating around again, around 4-1, almost 5-1-ish. I think a fair, again, market price is minus 400 plus 300. I think you're going to draw a lot of two-way action, and I think we might see it get bet up a little bit. But again, if it gets bet up a little bit too high, then there's going to be disrespect on Spencer here, and there might be a little bit of value that shows up on her side as well, despite me thinking she probably doesn't come away with a win here. So, again, I think a two-way public line, minus 400 plus 300, is probably about right. So both of the lines that are floating out right now, I think, are stable and they're solid, and we'll see some movement for sure, because we'll see some parlay action coming in. Yeah. That's one thing that people maybe are not kind of factoring in these days. Even Vegas books, there's more books now taking parlay action on UFC fights. So they want to be safer. So if you're getting like if they parlay Cejudo with Nunes, for example, that line, you know, with big money is probably going to increase a little bit on both guys or both sides as well with that. So a lot to factor in. There's more money being bet in the UFC these days. And again, more of the public betting favorites. And we're seeing this trend of the champions being almost on this invincible platform a lot of times now as well. You know, and that's not the case. I mean, everybody's beatable. Everybody's human. Even though these are elite level, you know, fighters that are at the top of their game, and it's hard to see them losing. But let's call it like it is. I mean, nobody's invincible. No matter how high the pedestal is, you know, there's always a bad day that could happen for these people, you know, or just a bad matchup stylistically that we see afterwards. And we're like, wow, we didn't expect that or see that coming sometimes, you know? So I think both of these title fights are intriguing because, like we said, Aldo definitely has a path to victory over Cejudo, and Spencer has a path to victory also over Nunes. I don't see them happening right now, but I wouldn't necessarily count them out. And I think they should be interesting fights at least.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that one. Now, I want to shift gears here, Nick, to UFC 248, because I know you had some bets that I know they didn't come through for you, Nick, but at the same time, I mean, they were pretty close to coming through. Like, I'm pretty sure you were probably on the right side for at least the Romero fight. The other fight, you know, was, at the time, it was a pick 'em, I guess. It turned out to be a decision, though. It was super close. Now, let's start with the Romero and Adesanya fight. As someone who had money on Romero, Nick, you must have been frustrated, but at the same time, I mean, you had a chance to get your fucking bet one in the fifth round.
Oh, man. I honestly gave Romero 1, 2, and 5. Now, it was a very difficult fight to score. I know that because there wasn't much going on, especially in the early couple rounds. And I know Adesanya did start, you know, fighting a little bit better and smarter in round 3 and round 4. But I think – and I was expecting him to win round 5, honestly. When round 5 started, I thought, okay, I lost this fight. Adesanya's going to win 3-2. He's going to take 3, 4, and 5. And that's it. And I lost, right? But round 5, I really legitimately thought Romero took, because Adesanya was definitely tentative. Romero was kind of pushing, I think, a little bit harder than he was all fight long, too. He kind of wanted it more, surprisingly to me, in that fight. So, again, it's questionable. A lot of people are going to kind of see it either way. But even though it was a lackluster, horrible fight, I mean,
man,
let's not lie, it was definitely a fight that all of us were not happy about. But Romero, in my mind, took that fight 3-2. It was very close. But it wasn't one of these decisions that I'm going to be complaining about, saying, what an awful decision, a robbery, because it was such a tough fight. And I've been burned by so many worse decisions recently. Oh, yeah. So, honestly, it's all right. I mean, you know, I mean, I can live with it. And the truth is, being on that side, I think I was on the right side as far as value goes. Mm-hmm. And, again, a lot of people are going to say there's no value on dead money. But you know what? Would you be wanting to lay 3-1 on that decision when it goes to scorecards? Don't fool yourselves.
No.
Because you guys that laid Adesanya in that spot, win or lose, if you took almost 300, you guys did not make an intelligent bet. You can say what you want, at me all you want, but that was not an intelligent bet. If it was closer to a pick-em type of fight, right, then I can understand it more, right? But you're laying almost 3-1. I don't think that was an intelligent bet, win or lose. I think the smarter money was probably on Romero. And even at the sports books, if you look at a lot of these managers who talk to them, the sharper money was legitimately on Romero in that fight. So, I mean, it just didn't pan out that way. So I have no regrets on that bet. And the cool thing is about betting that fight as well, I didn't really lose a lot, even though I put a decent amount of money overall. It wasn't just the videos I put out. I had more money than the videos showed as well. So it did cost me a chunk of money, unfortunately, right? But I wasn't laying 3 times the money. You know what I mean? I wasn't. So I can make that up a lot easier than the other side losing. You know what I mean? So I still think it was an intelligent bet.
Yeah. You know, like I said, Nick, it was super close. Like, it came down to the fifth round. I had it scored for Adesanya because I gave him the fifth round. I had the first two Romero, 3 and 4 Adesanya. I think those are easy to score in the fifth round. You know, I've seen a lot of people on Romero, but I did think Adesanya edged it out. But again, Nick, you know, I'm with you. I think that, you know, your plus 240 or whatever you had on him, I mean, that was probably –
I got up to plus 255, man. Crazy. Plus
255 on a coin flip in the fifth round. So it was a losing bet at the end of the day, Nick, but, you know, I respect you for laying your money on it. And, you know, you've had a few, like, unlucky ones lately. Like, the Dominic Reyes fight, I mean, we all thought he won that fight. Like,
exactly.
He should have won that fight. Like, that was, again, a value line that you took, and it should have paid off. But, again, you know, I think that one's a lot more – you would be, you know, ticked off about that one, right?
I agree. I think that was the worst decision, to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, and I've said that, you know, I've said that to a few betting partners or whatnot I have as well, and they know that too, you know. So, you know, they're dodging bullets, honestly. Public is dodging some bullets lately because I was right about that. You know, I was more right than wrong, put it that way, about that fight. To me, I should have hit Reyes. I should have hit Romero, and there's a good chance I should have hit JJ too. I know we'll talk about that in a second. Again, the JJ and Romero fights were very close and very tough to call, but I do think the Reyes – beat Jones. I think that was a little bit more clear, 3-2, than, you know what I mean? But
agreed.
It is what it is. You know, that's the sport. It's hard to get these decisions at times, especially with the state of MMA judging. I say it all the time. For me personally, that's the hardest thing about betting fights, is beating the judges, because I've been right a lot more than I've been wrong with these decisions. And they just, you know, recently, especially, they haven't panned out. And, you know, it will. I mean, I know some will come back. A lot of people say, oh, they come and go a little bit. But, man, recently it's been a little bit more lopsided to the wrong decisions, in my opinion. But that's a sport. I know it's unpredictable when it hits the scorecards. I hate it when it goes to cards and their competitive decisions anymore. Hate it.
Yeah, you never really know. But you've been around forever, Nick. You've been betting on this stuff forever. So, like, you know, it's a gamble, right, at the end of the day. And with these judges, like, you really never know. So if it's going to be a super close fight, it goes to the cards, your money's just really on the line at that point. Again, I thought you should have won that, at least the Reyes one, because I thought he easily won the first three rounds. But, you know, again, neither here nor there.
You know what? Overall, I'm pretty satisfied because my eye has been pretty sharp, though. You know what I mean? Even on the show, the UFC On The Line show, if you go back and watch those shows, I mean, I've been pretty accurate, you know, with everything that was said about those fights and how close they would be. And a lot of people were scratching their head, like, no way, this guy's crazy. You know what I mean? I've heard some negative about Adesanya's going to smoke him, you know, all this other stuff that everybody was kind of thinking would happen. But now, go back and look exactly what we said. We were talking about the value side of everything there, right? So, I mean, it's those things that at that price, I thought there was a lot of value. I even said on the show, Adesanya should be favored, but the value is on Romero. And the same thing, you know, in the Zhang fight over JJ as well. That was a heck of a fight, but I think it was pretty competitive. The value was on JJ, despite the crazy movement in that fight going up. I mean, the public was all over Zhang in that fight to the point where books couldn't really keep up. And again, the sharper money was coming in, taking that plus money on, you know, on Joanna for sure, because they saw the value on Joanna. And most people that watch the sport figured it'd be a close fight. If Joanna didn't get out there and get sparked in the first round, which some people thought might happen, then it would be a competitive fight. And that's exactly how it played out. That was an awesome fight. One of the best fights we've ever seen.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about this fight. So you obviously gave me some of your thoughts on it. I did score for Zhang, Nick, but again, it was super close. That one was, to me, way closer than the Romero fight or even the Reyes fight, where I thought Reyes won easily. In this case, I thought Zhang edged it out barely just because I think she did a little more damage, Nick. But, you know, Joanna, I'm sure as someone who did have a bet on Joanna, I'm pretty sure you thought she at least won the fight because it was super close. And how did you score? I guess you had it. You on a 3-2, probably, right?
Yeah, I did have a 3-2, but again, it was tough because I mean, round two, round five were really hard to score. So I could see them going to Zhang as well, you know. So especially round five, it was. I think going into the last round, Joanna was, I believe, -200 betting favorite live, right? Yeah. So she was even favored to win the fight going into the last round, in most sports books. So, you know, I think again, she was probably edging out that fight, but again, Zhang dug deep and she probably stole round five and that. Overall, that's what won her the fights, despite being the scorecards being all over the place, right? I mean, they were, you know, the judges had different scores every round, it seemed, overall. So it was a tough fight to score again. So no complaints there. I did take the value side, and it didn't cash, unfortunately. But, you know, it's one of those things that pre-fight, if you have to go back and make a bet, I would make the same bet.
For sure. Is there anyone else that you had bets on, Nick? Do you have Mearshart? Do you have him as a dog?
No. Actually, Romero and JJ were my only two main plays on that fight, card. Those are my two big bets.
No worries.
So it wasn't the greatest weekend for me to say.
But it happened. You've been around forever, Nick. You know exactly that. It's ups and downs, man. It's like a yo-yo, right? You have a great weekend. You have an off weekend. But I don't even think you were really I mean, I think you probably should have had at least one of the two. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, personally, it's like when you have a razor-thin fight, you're taking +200 or +250. Like, that's probably the right side, even though it ended up not doing so well, I guess, at the end. I think you and Brian released the podcast already for this weekend's card. You guys did it yet or no? You and Brian?
Yeah.
You there, Nick?
Cutting out a little bit on me here.
No worries. Did you and Brian do your podcast for this weekend? You there, Nick? I think you guys can.
Yeah, sorry, bro. You're cutting out a little bit.
No, I think I'm pretty sure it's from your end, Nick, but it's no worries. I was just curious if you guys did the podcast for this Brazil card. Nope. You there?
Yeah, okay. I'm having issues hearing you a little bit here.
No worries. I'm not sure exactly what's happening here, guys, but it's all good.
Now I do hear you a little better.
Okay. All right. No, I'm just going to ask if you guys did the podcast for the Kevin Lee card, if you guys have did that yet.
Actually, it's going to be recorded tonight, so it should be out tomorrow. Okay, yeah, it should be out tomorrow. So you guys can check out the Oddscast tomorrow.
Any thoughts you want to give on that? I know you don't want to spoil your podcast, obviously. Is there anything you want to say, though?
Not yet. I mean, I want people to tune into the Oddscast. So they can kind of listen and get a gist of the whole card. So I won't any spoilers now. And again, my phone's kind of, I don't know if my phone's overheating or what's going on, but something's definitely happening with my phone right now as well.
Okay. You know what, Nick, we did everything one anyways. Just let's end it. So give me your, tell everyone where you're on Twitter and then tell us about On The Line.
All right, cool. Yeah, you can follow me personally at Twitter at Fight Odds. Also at on Instagram, Fight Odds underscore Nick Kalikas. And then, like Adam said, I'll obviously go to MMAOddsBreaker.com for all your betting news and updates. Adam has an awesome show, MMAOB Daily. He covers all the latest news. So make sure you tune in. I mean, it's almost an essential listen at this point to just keep up with everything going on in the sport. You do a great job with that, by the way. And then, of course, UFC on the line for each pay-per-view. It usually gets released on Wednesday nights, like late Wednesday evening. So a lot of cool things happening with that show as well. I'm looking forward to this year, actually. I mean, we got to get through this coronavirus thing, this scare that's going on right now across the world. But hopefully we get through that. And then, some, you know, like I said, some really good things, exciting things happening with the UFC in 2020. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. And you know what? Coronavirus is something I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about, Nick. But obviously it is affecting some of the cards. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, the UFC hasn't made an official statement yet, so I wanted to wait and see on that. But I'm pretty sure they will at least tonight, and then I'll talk about it on my show tomorrow. So in the meantime, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MMARaysOnNet. Nick, thanks so much for joining me today, man. I love having you on, getting your thoughts on some upcoming fights, and I'll have to get you back on next month to talk about some other fights.
No doubt. We'll do it again, and I'll try to get a better situation here for my for my viewing here. So. And hopefully my phone doesn't overheat. So my apologies for kind of the lag here with my phone reception, but next time would be better. Tune in to our next show as well.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Nick, for joining me. Have a good one. Bye.
All right, see you guys.